الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الارض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولا يتمنونه ابدا بما قدمت ايديهم والله عليم بالظالمين قل ان الموت الذي تفرون منه فانه ملاقيكم ثم تردون الى عالم الغيب والشهاده فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون صدق الله العظيم
everything which is in the heavens and everything which is in the earth glorifies Allah. He is the supreme sovereign. He is all holy. He is all authority. He is all wisdom. It is He who raised from among the unlettered people a messenger from among themselves who recites unto them the revelations of Allah and purifies their souls and teaches them the book, the scripture, that is the law, wal hikmah and the wisdom. Wa in kanu min qablu lafi dhalalin mubin. And verily, before that, they were in clear ignorance. Wa akharina minhum. And he was sent to those also other than them, in whom they are potentially with them, لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ but they have not as yet joined them. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ and He is all-powerful, all-wise. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُوتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ this is the bounty and blessing of Allah. He gives it, He bestows it on whomsoever He likes. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ And Allah has the greatest bounty. We have discussed the three ayat from the beginning of Surah Al-Jumu'ah. The quintessence of this passage is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's basic methodology to gather people for the purpose of fulfilling his mission that is to make the deen of Allah supreme, to gather people and to train them. All this basic methodology revolves around Qur'an. He makes da'wah through Qur'an. He warns through Qur'an. He gives glad tidings through Qur'an. He reminds people through Qur'an. He makes tabligh, he conveys Qur'an. He reminds through Qur'an. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ And with this Qur'an, He purifies their souls also and teaching them the book, the law and the wisdom. And this is actually the methodology with which that manpower was gathered, with which the Prophet ﷺ managed to wage jihad and challenge the existing system of shirk and make the deen of Allah supreme in the Arabian Peninsula in a very short time of not more than 22 years. Then his ummah consists of two parts, a nucleus, a starting point, that is the Ummiyin, the Arabs, the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. Then added to this nucleus are the other nations, آخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ. In the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُوتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the bounty of Allah. He gives it to whomsoever He likes. Now this fadl, actually it appears in the Qur'an opposite of ajr. Ajr is on the basis of some deed, some action, some labor, reward of some labor. Ajr and ujra. But fadl is by the bounty, by the grace of Allah. Not in reward of any action. Not in reward of any deed. Not in reward of any labor. Not a wage, but a blessing. This blessing is the greatest to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا. In Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's bounty, Allah's blessings upon you are the greatest. He chose you to be His last messenger, to receive the last and the final revelation. He chose you as the model for the whole of humanity which is to come after your time. إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا أَنْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. In the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that place which is mahmood, which is praised one. We can't imagine here in this world what will be the position of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hereafter. But maqamun mahmooda, if this world at least can give us some impression, then after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this blessing is greatest on the Arabs. From among them was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the biggest fortune that they have. Then it is in their language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed His last message for humanity, to which Allama Iqbal has said in Persian very beautifully, Nau insan ra peyame akhiri habilehu rahmatul lil alameen. That after them, this grace and bounty is shared by every person who joins this ummah, whether he is black or white, whether he belongs to east or west, whether he is from any race, has any color of his skin, he shares this bounty and grace of Allah if he joins this ummah. He is from آخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. Now as we saw in Surah As-Saff, there were portions of four ayat each. First four ayat, I said, they are just like a preface to that surah. Then in next four ayat, there was the history of Bani Israel. Three phases of their history, in which their attitude towards the messengers of Allah was discussed and described. What they did to Moses alayhi salatu wassalam. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَىٰ لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Then the second phase, after 1300 or 1400 years, when Masih alayhi salatu wassalam was sent to them, what was their reply? فَلَمَّا جَاهُ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالُوا هَذَا شَهْرٌ مُبِينٌ. Again, after a lapse of 600 years, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. And what was their attitude? يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. So in those four ayat, the history of Bani Israel regarding specially their attitude and behavior in the messengers of Allah. Now here in Surah Al-Jum'ah we find the same thing. A reference to the attitude of Bani Israel, the former Muslim Ummah. Now here is the attitude towards the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Because we have seen in the first four ayat of Surah Al-Jum'ah that the whole revolutionary struggle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, basically it revolved around Quran. He purified the souls of the people through Quran. He called people towards Allah and path of Allah through Quran. He called people towards faith through Quran. And now what was the attitude? What would be the attitude of Muslim Ummah towards Quran? So as a warning, as a sign of warning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoting the attitude of the former Muslim Ummah towards the book that was given to them as a sign of warning to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lest you should also follow the same attitude. With this background, please study. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا. The likeness of those who were given the responsibility of Torah, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا, and then they didn't fulfill the responsibility. كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ. Their likeness is to the likeness of a donkey, an ass, يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا, who carries a load of books. بِئْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Wicked and wretched is the similarity of those people who falsify the ayat of Allah, the revelation of Allah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah doesn't guide such wrongdoers. This ayah is very profound, very important. First of all, please note what's the meaning of humilu. Haml and himl. Basic letters are the same. Only maftuh and maksur. Haml and himl. Haml in Quran is used as some load or burden which is hidden inside. Haml of a woman when she is carrying a child in her womb, it's haml. Himl is a burden which one carries externally, on his head for example. Himlu ba'irin, the load of a camel, a camel load. This word appears in Surah Yusuf. Sa'alahum yawm al-qiyamah himla. They will be carrying very bad, very wicked, wretched burden on their shoulders on the day of judgment, because their deeds were bad, and they will be carrying their deeds, the load, a burden of their deeds. And for both, the verb form is the same. Hamala yahmilu, to carry something on your own shoulder, on your own head. Hamala yuhammilu, to make some other person carry some load. Now this is here tahmil. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةِ. Those people, the likeness of those people who were made to carry the load of Torah. What does it mean? To whosoever ummah Allah gives this book, it's the biggest responsibility. Although it's a blessing, although for them it's a bounty, they are fortunate. As Allah said, we have read it in the last section of Surah Al-Hajj, فَوَجْتَبَاكُمْ. O Muslims, be merry, rejoice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected you. You have been selected. In the same way, Allah selected Bani Israel and gave them Torah. Allah selected the unlettered people of Arabia and gave them Quran. So it was a bounty. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But what is fadl on one side becomes a responsibility on the other side. These two things go together. The greater the bounty, the greater the position you are given, the greater is the responsibility. So actually this responsibility, load of responsibility, burden of responsibility, and this very burden was meant when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna sadulqi alayka qawlan saqeela. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very soon we are going to send down on you a very heavy thing, a very heavy responsibility. Why? To whomsoever the book of Allah is given, he or that ummah or that nation or that community, and first of all the person to whom that book comes, has two responsibilities. Number one, he or they are required to act according to them, according to the book. If you don't act according to the book, you will be held responsible, punishable. You will be more punishable than the people who are ignorant. The book didn't came to them. The law didn't came to them. The message of Allah didn't came to them. So they can plead ignorance on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, we didn't receive your message. But to whom it has come, he is responsible. Now if he doesn't act according to it, he is punishable. He will be given the worst punishment. And then he has to convey it to the others also. Not only that he has to act accordingly, according to the book. He has to convey the book of Allah to others also. This second part of the responsibility of an ummah or a group who is given this bounty of Allah, the book of Allah, it has been referred to in Surah Al-Imran in Ayah 187. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ. And remember the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracted an agreement from those whom He gave the book. لَتُبَيَّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ. You will surely and definitely make it clear for the people. وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ. And you will not keep it as a secret. You will not hide it. You have to make it public. You have to convey it to the others. لَتُبَيَّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ. وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ. And you are not going to. And you will not hide it. فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَا ظُهُورِهِمْ. But what they actually did, what they practically did was, that they threw it, threw the book behind their backs. وَاشْتَرَوْ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And they took very small price, some worldly gains. I shall explain this thing later on. And that will be based on a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَبِئْسَ مَا يَشْتَرُونَ. Very bad prices that they are receiving of this book of Allah. Now this is actually the biggest responsibility. First of all, of the person to whom the revelation comes. He has to convey it. So there is a very, apparently very stern ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Ya ayyuha rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Wa illam tafal, wa ma ballaghta risalata. O Messenger of Allah, O Muhammad, convey everything which has been revealed to you. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ. And supposedly, if you don't do it, if you hide any part of it, then you would not have done your duty of the Messenger book. يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. So actually, it's a very big responsibility. That is why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't hide even those ayat in which there was an apparent reproach to him. Allah criticized at many places Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاهُ الْعَامَى وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى أَوْ يَزَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعُ ذِكْرًا أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى وَهُوَ يَخْشَى فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَقَّى. This is a reproach, a criticism of the behavior of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He couldn't hide it. It had to be made open and public to the whole of humanity. That these ayat were also revealed. And there are so many other places also. وَلَوْلَا أَنْ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا إِذَا لَّأَذَقْنَاكَ ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ عَلَيْنَا نَصِيرًا. There is in Surah Bani Israel, the mention has been made that these people are forcing you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنْ كَادُوا لَيَسْتَنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَفْتَرِي عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهُ وَإِذًا لَاتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا وَلَوْلَا أَنْ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا إِذًا لَأَذَقْنَاكَ ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ نَصِيرًا. Now this is the ayah. These people are forcing you to change, make certain changes, amendments in this Quran. To change the whole book or certain amendments. And then they will make friends with you. All opposition will go off. But, and had we not made your feet firm, لَوْلَا أَنْ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. There was a possibility. You might have leaned towards them. You might have thought of doing some sort of compromise or bargaining with them. And had you done it, إِذَا لَأَذَقْنَاكَ ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ. We would have given you double punishment in this world and double punishment after death. These are the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. Now, this was the this nature of the affair with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about the Ummah? If you are not doing your duty, you have to convey it. I narrated to you that the end of the sermon on the last Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the people a question. Ala hal ballagto? Have I conveyed to you? Have I communicated to you the message of Allah? And the answer was, inna nashhadu annaka qad ballagta wa addaita wa nasa'ta. We testify, O Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we testify. You have done your duty. You have conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another riwayah, another narration of this hadith, there are more profound words. Inna nashhadu annaka qad ballagta risalata wa addaita al-amanata wa nasahta al-ummata wa kashafta al-ummata. We testify to all this. You have done your duty. You have conveyed the message. You have conveyed the trust to us. You have, so to say, torn all the pieces and all the curtains of darkness. And you have lightened for us the right path. But then he said, first of all, he raised his finger towards the heaven and then towards the people, audience. Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad. O Allah, be a witness. They are accepting. I have conveyed that burden which came on my shoulders. I have been relieved of the responsibility of that burden. But the last words were, this burden has now shifted. It has now shifted to your shoulders. فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبَ. Now it's the duty of those who are present here that they have to convey it, communicate it to those who are not present. And those who are not present, they included the whole mankind which was there at that time. In addition, the whole mankind, all humanity, every human being that will come to this world till the end of this world. This is the duty of the Ummah. In the same way, the Bani Israel were given Torah. Although, please note, their duty was not to convey that Torah to the whole of humanity. Our responsibility is not only 10 times or 100 times, 1,000 times greater and heavier than the responsibility of Bani Israel. Musa was not sent for the whole of humanity. Even Jesus was not sent for the whole of humanity. Quran says, Rasulan ila Bani Israel. He was sent only for the children of Israel. He himself said, and it is present in the Gospels even today, I have come in search of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not for the whole of humanity. But Muhammad was sent, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the whole of humanity. So the Ummah had now to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the whole of humanity. And if it doesn't do, it will be held responsible on the day of judgment for the zalala, for the going astray of the whole of humanity. Had we conveyed them the message, then the responsibility was on them. But if we have not conveyed the message, then the responsibility is on our shoulders. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ. They didn't do their duty, they didn't perform their responsibilities, fulfill their responsibilities. So their likeness, their similarity is to the likeness of an ass or a donkey, which is carrying a load of books. You may put a load of very, very precious books, very high intellectual level books, but of no use to the donkey. He's carrying it. حَمَلَ يَحْمَلُ حَمَّلَ يُحَمَّلُ. It is carrying, but the carrying of this type of ummah, which is neither benefiting itself from the book, nor propagating it, and showing the light of this book to the humanity, it's just like an ass carrying the books. It cannot benefit from the books. So that is the similarity, that is the similitude that has been given here. بَيْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Evil is the similitude of people who falsify the signs and revelations of Allah. Now this takzeeb, this word takzeeb, which appears in this ayah, بَيْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Falsification, to give a lie to something, this is in two ways. One way of falsification is to say with your tongue, it is false, it is wrong, it is concoction. Just as the people of Makkah were saying, this is no revelation. We don't believe. We don't agree. We don't accept your claim, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is divine revelation which is coming to you. It's your own composition. So much so that some of them blame Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has deceived us. He has kept some learned Jew or from Christians in his house. He has a slave, some Christian slave, who is very knowledgeable. He has hidden him in his house. And he takes the dictation morning and evening. Iktatabaha. Fahiya tumla alayhi bukratam wa asila. He is taking dictation from that person. And now he comes out and says it is the revelation from Allah. So this is the falsifying or giving a lie to the ayat of Allah, to the revelation of Allah. It is open, clear, by tongue, by saying so. The other type of falsification is through your deeds. You say, I believe this is the word of Allah. Practice it. So your attitude, your behavior, your action that is proving that you don't believe in it, you are falsifying it. You are giving it a lie. That is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا آمَنَ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ اسْتَحَلَّ مَحَارِمَهُ. Whosoever declares or takes for himself as permissible anything which has been forbidden by Quran, he doesn't have any belief in Quran. It's a very categorical statement, very simple statement, very logical statement. If you really believe this is the word of Allah, and this is saying so, and you are not accepting it, what does it mean? Either you don't believe in Allah at all, or you don't believe that this is the word of Allah. There can be no third possibility. One says, I believe in Allah. And I also believe that this is the word of Allah that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is conveying to us. وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْمٍ يُوحَىٰ. But then you are not acting according to it. What does it mean? The same thing that we found in the beginning of Surah As-Saff. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ بَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Oh, you people who profess to believe, why are you saying what you are not practicing? This is outrageous for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you say what you don't do. This is not going to give you any credit on the Day of Judgment. It will rather increase your punishment. بِئْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah doesn't guide such evil doers. Here we must add one word. Doesn't forcibly guide. He is guiding. But it is up to you to accept the guidance. He doesn't force you to take the guidance. If he forces you, then there is no question of any reward or any punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he likes, he can force every human being to the best of his deeds at every moment. But it is not to be forcefully done, to forcibly done. It is out of your free will. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah is not going to forcibly guide those people who are evildoers, who want to go to the wrong path. This ayah appeared in Surah As-Saff twice. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Here it is, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. In the next surah, Surah Al-Munafiqoon, again you will find, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. And all these three surahs, which are consecutive, one after the other, this part of the ayah is being repeated. Now, please, let me say something about our attitude. Why this ayah came in this surah? I told you, in all these surahs, starting from Surah Al-Hadid till Surah Al-Tahrim, total address is to the Muslim Ummah. Everything that is being said, it is being said to the Muslim Ummah. Nothing to Ahle Kitab, nothing to Mushrikeen, nothing to unbelievers, nothing to the Jews, or nothing to the Christians, for the Muslims. And these have been mentioned, their attitude. In Surah As-Saff, their attitude towards the messengers of Allah. What they did with Moses, what they did with Jesus, what they did with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi wa sallam. Here, their attitude, practical attitude towards Torah, the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. And it is only as a sign of warning. O Muslim Ummah, don't follow in the footsteps of the former Muslim Ummah. You are being warned. Lest you should also take to this very attitude. Let me quote here a hadith, a very beautiful and a very comprehensive hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is from Hazrat Ubaidah al-Mulaiki radiyallahu ta'ala an. He says that the Prophet once addressed the Muslims. But this is a very novel type of address. Ya Ahl al-Qur'an. This is the only hadith that I have found in which the Prophet addressed the Muslims as Ya Ahl al-Qur'an. We read in the book, in the Qur'an, Ya Ahl al-Kitab. Ahl al-Kitab, people who believe in Torah, people who believe in Injil, Ya Ahl al-Kitab. We believe in Qur'an. Ya Ahl al-Qur'an. La tatawassadu al-Qur'an. وَطْلُوهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ فِي عَنَائِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَتَغَنَّوْهُ وَفْشُوهُ وَتَدَبَّرُوا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Here again I mentioned several ayat of the Quran where four commandments come one by the other and then لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَفَعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. In the same fashion we find in this hadith. يَا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ لَا تَتَوَسَّدُوا الْقُرْآنَ. Now what is تَتَوَسَّد? This is actually بِسَادَة means pillow. Pillow which you keep on your backs to have support for your back, to sleep over the pillow. And this is always behind you. لا تتوسدوا القرآن. Don't make this Quran a pillow for yourself. In two senses. Number one, don't throw it back. Don't throw it on your back, just as we just read in that ayah. فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. They threw the book and the covenant that they had made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the book. They threw that covenant and the book behind their backs. At another place the Quran says, نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Some of these people who were given the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they threw the book behind their backs. So the Prophet is saying, addressing us also, يَا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ. O people of the Quran, who believe in Quran, who believe that Quran is the word of Allah, لَا تَتَوَسَّلُوا الْقُرْآنِ. Don't make it a pillow. Don't throw it behind your backs. And don't just boast that we have the book of Allah with you. Just sleeping over the pillow and resting your head on the pillow. Don't have this idea as a thing with which you can take pride. That's all. And what to do? وَطْلُوهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ فِي عَنَائِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. First of all, read it. As is the right of its reading. Read it correctly. With correct tajweed. Read it regularly. Make it a daily routine. Recite it regularly. As Quran says itself, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Whom, people whom we give our book, they read it as they should read it. Now this, to fulfill the right of the recitation of Quran, what does it mean? I have discussed all these things in a book of mine, and actually let me mention here, that was the beginning of my mission. In 1967, I delivered two lectures in a mosque in Lahore, Jamia al-Khidra, and there the topic was this. What do the Muslims owe to the Quran? What are the obligations of the Muslims towards Quran? We believe in Quran. Our first obligation is that we must have real conviction that this is the word of Allah. Second obligation is that we should read it, as is the right of this book to be read. Third, our obligation is to understand it. Fourth is to act upon it. And fifth is to convey it to the whole of the humanity. Five responsibilities regarding Quran are there on the shoulder of every Muslim who claims that he believes that Quran is the word of Allah. Well, there are differences in the capabilities, in the level of consciousness, in the understanding. All these things will be there. But basically these five responsibilities are on the shoulders of every Muslim. He will be able to do it according to the capacity, according to the capabilities. But then these capabilities and capacities can be increased. You devote your time, you understand more. You'll be more capable of conveying this message to the others. If you devote time and you dive deep into the ocean of its meaning, you will be able to bring from the depths of the wisdom of Quran the jewels, the pearls of guidance for the whole of humanity. The solutions for all the problems that the mankind is facing today, they are there in this Quran. But you have to dig them out from beneath. So actually, capabilities can be increased through hard work and hard labor. Ya Ahlul Quran, la tatawassadul Quran. Don't make this Quran a pillow. Don't throw it on your back. Don't just have a feeling that you have it and take pride out of it. But luhu haqqa tilawatihi fi anai layli wal nahar. Recite it during the daytime also and the time of night also. Do it. Number two, wafshuhu. Spread it. Ifsha. If we say in Urdu, Raaz ifsha ho gaya, Raaz ka ifsha hai. Ifsha is spread. This has come for the whole of humanity, not for you only. As I quoted the ayah in the previous session, the Prophet has commanded to every Muslim, Ballighu anni walau ayatan. No Muslim should think that I don't have any responsibility of the conveying of the message of Quran. Even if you know one ayah, you convey this ayah to the other. There can be, no further emphasis can be there. It's the highest form of emphasis that the Prophet ﷺ is laying on this. بَلَّهُ أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Even if you can convey one ayah, think that it is your duty to convey it. Learn more and convey more. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you are those who keep on learning more and more Quran. And whatever they are learning and understanding, they share it with others, convey it to the others also. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. رواه البخاري عن عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه. Third is, وَتَغَنَّوْهُ. Feel that you are rich because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you Quran. This is the most precious thing on the surface of the earth. Allah's kalam, Allah's word. And Allah's word is one of His attributes. This attribute has been revealed to you in your language. So actually, you should have the feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the biggest precious thing in the world that is possible. The ayah in Surah Yunus says, Ya ayyuha an-nas, qad ja'atkum maw'izatun min rabbikum wa shifa'un lima fi sudur wa hudan wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. Qul bi fadlillahi wa bi rahmatihi fa bi dhalika falyafrahu huwa khairum mimma yajma'un. This Quran is more precious, more valuable than all the other things that people possess. Don't think that he possesses a very big mansion, a very big building. He lives in a very big palace, so he's more fortunate. If you are thinking in those terms, you don't know the value of Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. This is more precious than all the belongings and possessions of this earth or this world. Huwa khairum mimma yajma'un. So rejoice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you such a precious thing. So the third commandment which came in this hadith is وَتَغَنَّوْهُ. The second meaning of تَغَنَّوْ is enjoy its music. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled in it a divine music. Quran has a divine music of its own. And because Allah ta'ala has given every person, although the levels are different, some liking, some taste of music, good voice. So that is why the Prophet said, مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. زَيِّنُ الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ. Beautify Quran with your voices. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a good voice, a melodious voice, try to read Quran, recite Quran with the best of the voices that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed you with. It so happened once that the Prophet was on his night, he used to go by the homes of people of Sahaba Kiram in Medina to see for himself what my companions are doing. One night he was passing by the side of the house of Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala an. And at that time he was in his tahajjud, in his night prayers, he was reciting Quran. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a very beautiful voice, the Prophet stayed for some time there listening to him. Then in the Fajr prayer, when Abu Musa Ashari came for the Fajr, after the Fajr, it was the usual habit of the Prophet to have some exchange, some talk with the Muslims. So he said to them, Ya Abu Musa, innaka qad utita mizmaran min mazamir ali Dawood. Ya Abu Musa, Abu Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, you know, a musical instrument in your own throat. From the musical instruments that were given to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to recite hymns for the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran says in more than one places that even the mountains and even the birds joined him in his prayers, in his hymns of praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taghannawhu. And the final is watadabbaru fi. Ponder over it. Ponder deep over it. Dive deep into the ocean of its meanings. Quran mein ho ghota zan hai marz-e musalman. Go deep into its understanding. Not a superficial understanding only. Not tadakkur only, but tadabbur also. You focus your high power lenses on the ayat, on the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected. As I said in the previous session, that these four terms appearing four times in the Quran, although the Arabic language is not short of vocabulary, although Allah Ta'ala is not short of vocabulary, but He is repeating the same terms. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikma. Four times of the Quran. But more, so that you should understand that these terms are very important. These words are very important. You must focus your attention on it and have a deep understanding of these words. And actually these four words, these four terms, they give you the whole basic methodology of the revolution of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to change the people, individuals. When people individually are changed, then a human potential will develop. You will have manpower for jihad and qital fi sabilillah. But if you can't change the people, their thinking, their behaviors, their seerah, their character, where from will you get the people who will wage jihad for the cause of Allah? Will go to war for the cause of Allah. So basic methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yudakkihim wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah. And all this is revolving around the Quran. So this is actually the position of Quran that we should understand. And that is why I gave those two lectures, and that was the beginning of my mission. And this is, later on I published it in the form of a booklet. In Urdu, first of all, Musalmanon par Quran-e-Majeed ke huquq. Then its English translation came and it was published, Arabic translation published, Persian translation published. Recently I have seen somebody, I don't know who is translated in Malaysian language. People read it on their own, but they found that this is a useful book. They translated. To none of the translators we paid even a penny. They did it absolutely. Voluntarily, without any wages, without any remunerations, because they found it, that it is beautiful. So this book, I would recommend that all of you must understand and must read. And because it's a small booklet, it is available in Urdu, it is available in Persian, it is available in Arabic, it is available in English. For here, the most important is English. And now here I want to quote a few couplets from Allama Iqbal. He is the person, as I told you, in the end of my discussions on Surah As-Saff, he was one of the seers and visionaries of this century. And he had the vision of the dominance of Islam. I quoted some of his couplets, some of his poetry last evening. Today I want to quote a few of his couplets regarding his assessment of Quran, its grandeur, his marsiya, his lamentation on the attitude of the Ummah. We have taken up the same attitude with Yahud, the Bani Israel took with Torah. The same is our attitude with Quran. Ba'ayatash Torah kare juzinis ki az yasin hu asam amiri. All the Muslims, for you this Quran means nothing else except that you should recite Surah Yasin to a person who is dying. That's all. To make his death easy. The book which was revealed, which was sent to you to be a guide and light for the life, You have made it as something to make the death easy.
بآیاتشترا کارے جزینی کہ اب یاسین ہے وہ آسام ابھی بٹ یور ایٹیٹیوڈ
یو جسٹ ریڈ اٹ ڈیسائڈ اٹ ڈونٹ انڈرسٹینڈ اٹ ڈونٹ پونڈر اوور اٹس میننگ یو آر ناٹ ایکٹنگ اپون اٹ اینڈ ہی سیز
وائی از اے دستان دنو افسانہ بند مانیے وہ پست حرفے وہ بلند از خطیب و دیلمی گفتارے ہو با ضعیف و شاز و مرسل کارے ہو
The sermon givers in the Muslim Ummah who are giving vows and sermons, they never talk about Quran. They narrate stories, concocted stories or ahadith which are zaif, which are not authentic. Ba zaifo shazo mursal kareho, as khatibo dehlavi guftareho. Not even the ahadith of Bukhari and Muslim. They go and find the most weak ahadith or mauzu ahadith. Concocted ahadith, and they are giving their sermons for that. While Quran says, I am the sermon, the biggest sermon. Ya ayyuhan nas, qad jaatkum mau'izatun min rabbikum wa shifaa'un lima fi sudur. This is the mau'izah, this is the waaz, this is the sermon. Especially the Sufis, mostly, had nothing to do with Quran. He has lamented about their attitude also. Sufi ek pashmina poshe hal mast. از شراب نغمہ قوال مست آتش شیر عراقی دل دلش دل نمی سادت بقرآن محفلش ایٹ لیسٹ ان ادر پارٹ آف دا ورلڈ ان انڈین سب کانٹیننٹ اینڈ آئی تھنک اٹس سو مینی ادر مسلم کنٹریز آلسو دیر از گوئنگ قوالی یور میوزک ود پوئٹری پرشین پوئٹری اردو پوئٹری اینڈ پیپل گو ایکسٹیسی دے فیل آن دیئر پوئٹری بٹ نیور دے ریڈ قرآن In their meetings, Quran is not at all mentioned. And I noted, and I invited your attention, there is a big movement. I admire their work. But this movement of today, despite all its volume, the main point of my complaint is that they are bypassing Quran. They are making tabligh, but not through Quran. No tafsir through Quran. No tazkir through Quran. No tabligh of Quran. But sermons. And stories, and mostly very weak stories. This is going on. Actually, we are not using Quran just as we should have used it. This was the miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He brought about the revolution in the lives of people first, individuals first. And the instrument of this revolution, personal revolution, was Quran. Allama Iqbal says, "Kyun bajaan darrast jaan deegar shabad." When this Quran permeates the inner personality of a person, his personality from within changes. There is a revolution. His values are changed. First, before that, he thought that life is the biggest, precious thing. Now he thinks that Shahada is more precious than life. They would like to have the death of Shahada. They would like to meet Allah as soon as possible through Shahada. They don't want to live anymore. شہادت ہے مطلوب و مقصود مومن نہ مال غنیمت نہ کشور خوش آئی دس از دی چینج فرام ود ان دی ویلوز آر چینج آل ٹوگیدر اینڈ دس از ایکچولی دی چینج فرام ود ان وچ از پرماننٹ اینڈ وین دس کمز ان اے ریکوزٹ نمبر آف پیپل اینڈ وین دیز پیپل جوائن ہینڈز دین دے کین برنگ اباؤٹ اے چینج ان دی سسٹم دے کین برنگ اباؤٹ اے ریولیوشن دین دی ہول پولیٹیکل سوشل اکنامک سسٹم کین چینج دین دے کین ویٹ جہاد فار دی کاز آف اللہ If they go to war for the cause of Allah, why the wars for the cause of Allah are failing these days? Because these personalities, individuals, were not reformed first. This process was not adopted. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ Neither there was dawah through Quran, nor there was training through Quran. This process, actually, if you have bypassed it, the Muslims, all type of Muslims gather, they take up arms, they are struggling, But the results, in most of the cases, up till now, they are very disappointing. And they are disappointing why? Because this task of making the deen of Allah supreme, establishing the deen of Allah, cannot be accomplished except through the same methodology which was adopted by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is that methodology. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam accomplished his revolution, In Arabian Peninsula, He gave this miracle of His to His Ummah. In the same sermon of Hajj, He said, قَدْ تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِنِي قَسَمْتُمْ بِهِ لَنْ تَضِلُّوا أَبَدَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. I am departing, I am going. I have done my work. I convey to you. Now you have to convey to the whole of mankind. I have brought about a revolution in the Arabian Peninsula. Now it is your duty to bring about this revolution on the whole of the globe. My instrument of revolution, my miracle is this Quran. Take it from me. Use it. قَدْ تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِنِي قَسَمْتُمْ بِهِ لَنْ تَضِلُّوا أَبَدَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. This is actually, now the second point in the second section of this surah is why this happened. Why this happened to the former ummah? They believe that this Torah is the word of Allah. Why didn't they fulfill the responsibility? Why didn't they act according to Torah themselves? Why did they hide the Torah from the people? Why we Muslims, believing that Quran is the word of Allah, we glorify Quran, we respect Quran, we keep Quran at a high place, everything is done, we show respect to Quran, but neither read it, nor understand it, nor act according to it, nor we are conveying it to the others. But why? The reason has been given in the next two ayat. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O you who have become Jews. Note this word. Who have become Jews. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا. What does it mean? I'll explain later. إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ. If you claim, if you think, أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ, that you are the friends of Allah, beloved of Allah, min dunin nas, to the exclusion of other people. You are the only friends and you are the only beloveds of Allah. Nahnu abnau Allah wa ahibbauhu. That was the claim made by them. Fatamannabu al-mauta in kuntum sadiqin. You should long for death then. Does a person love to meet the beloved or to remain away from him? If you love someone, you want to be with him. You don't want to be away from him. If you really love Allah, and if you really believe that Allah loves you, then you should long for death so as to meet your beloved as soon as possible. While on the contrary, your behavior is, it is given here, فَتَمَنَّهُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُ صَادِقِينَ وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They will never long or desire for death due to the deeds that they have sent before. They know what we have sent before, the deeds of our hands, مَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, what have we sent before us. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. Allah is fully aware of these evildoers. He knows what they say and He knows what they are doing. The other case of the Quran where this subject has been given in little more detail is, and this is Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat 94-96. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَالِصَةً مِّن دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُا الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Jews, if you think that the life of hereafter is reserved for you, all the goods of heaven are reserved for you, to the exclusion of the rest of the humanity, you should long for death if you are true in your claim. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. As I told you, the important subjects are repeated in Quran at least twice. This is another example. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. They will never long for death. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ حَيَاءٍ. You will find them. They are most greedy for long life in this world. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Even compared to these mushrikeen, these people, the unlettered people having no book, having no guidance, having no sharia, having, they had no rasul, no nabi, but they are more brave. They are ready to fight, go to fight in the open field. While these Jews, about them it has been said in the Quran, لَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ رَحْبَةً فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ لَا يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ جَمِيعًا إِلَّا فِي قُرًى مُحَصَّنَةٍ أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ جُدُرٍ. They will never come in the open to fight against you, O Muslims. They will fight from within the fortified fortresses or from behind the walls which can protect them. This is the condition of their cowardice.
وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ حَيَاةٍ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Each one of them likes that his life should be extended to 1,000 years. وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَن يُعَمَّرُ. And that a life may be extended, it cannot save them from the punishment. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is seeing what they are doing. Now this is actually the reason. Two things, they are the reason of a Muslim ummah going to يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. This attitude is the result. They say something else, do something else. Why? Number one is zuhd. A false idea that we are beloved of Allah. نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ. Second, amani, wishful thinking. لَنْ تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً or لَنْ تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Again, this ayah has also been repeated twice. Surah Al-Baqarah and again in Surah Al-Imran twice. Surah Al-Baqarah 80. لَنْ تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً and Surah Al-Imran 24. لَنْ تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. The same meaning is the same. The words are two. This was their amani. تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Well, this is your wishful thinking. Bring forth if you have any argument, if you have any dalil, if you have any argument from Torah. فَاتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاةِ وَاتْلُوهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring Torah and read it and say where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that you will not be thrown in the fire of hell forever and you will be taken out from the fire of hell only after a few days. So these two things joined together. Zod. Zama alladhina kafaru allahi yub'asu. We had this word in Surah Al-Taghabun. An idea which is false, which is wrong. This is Zama. And number two, amani, wishful thinking. Umniya. Umniya is wahid, singular, and amani is plural. That is jama. This is the wishful thinking that we shall not be thrown into the fire of hell. And if at all we will be thrown, we will be taken out in a few days. These two things, they result in not acting according to the Quran, not according to the Torah. When our salvation is our birthright, when we shall be saved anyhow, whether we do something or not, whether we are acting according to Torah or Quran or not, well, why to act according to the Quran and according to the Torah? Why to deprive yourself of the luxuries of life through haram? But you are not going to be punished. You should earn as much as you can, irrespective of whether it is haram or halal, and enjoy life. Babar Mahesh Kosh ke alam dubara nis. Try to enjoy life. Go be merry. Eat and drink and be merry. Don't bother about halal and haram, and what is right and what is wrong. Do it. Because you are saved. You are salvaged. Salvation is yours. It's your birthright. You are the beloved of Allah. He's not going to punish you. This is the reason why they went astray, and same is the reason why we went astray. This is the diagnosis. Why did they do it with Torah? And this is the diagnosis. Why have we taken this attitude with the Quran? This Surah Mubarakah, inshallah, we shall finish in the first hour tomorrow after Salatul Asr. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.